Welcome to the Drexel Medcast, your source for health information from leading academic experts at Drexel University College of Medicine. I'm Stacia DeMarco. Today we're joined by Dr. Jennifer Hamilton, assistant professor in the Department of Family, Community, and Preventive Medicine. Dr. Hamilton specializes in complementary or alternative medicine. Dr. Hamilton, welcome.
Thank you, Stacia. It's a pleasure to be here.
First of all, what is complementary or alternative medicine?
Complementary, alternative, holistic medicine are all different terms that are being applied to the idea of medicine that doesn't put quite as much emphasis on prescriptions and pills as people often think conventional medicine does. The terminology got started back in the 1990s when some researchers with a conventional medicine background realized that there were an awful lot of people doing things for their health that didn't involve going to the regular doctor's office. And whether they were going to an acupuncturist or a chiropractor, they were doing other things for their health. And the conventional physicians wanted to understand more about what was going on and why people were doing things this way. The terminology changed as we realized that these different practices are not just alternatives to regular medicine, but can be used along with regular medicine as well. Sometimes you might hear the term integrative medicine as well, recognizing the idea to get the best aspects of all the different systems. The term integrative medicine also helps emphasize the fact that there is no one sharp dividing line between conventional medicine and alternative. As things become more and more researched, as we get more of a scientific basis for some things, some treatments that started out as alternative become accepted by conventional medicine, things like fish oil supplements. At the same time, people have realized that conventional medicine never gave up on recognizing people as whole people, that there's more to health than just taking pills and tracking blood test results. So it's very hard to draw a sharp line between the two worlds, and that's why some people use the term integrative medicine.
What are some examples of alternative or complementary therapies?
I've mentioned in passing things like acupuncture or chiropractic medicine already. Herbalism or naturopathy is also considered part of complementary or alternative medicine. You might hear me use the word CAM as I go on just to have things be a little bit shorter. Homeopathy is another example. Many of these different practices have the idea that there's more than just medication needed to keep someone healthy or to sustain health. The idea that diet and activity are important, that spirituality is important, that happiness is an important part of one's health. And these different practices all include that at their core.
You have both an MD and a PhD. Oftentimes, people trained in traditional medicine, which places so much emphasis on scientific testing, have doubts about alternative treatments. What makes you believe in this type of practice?
I'm comfortable with this type of practice for two main reasons: my own personal experience and the scientific data. For myself, when I was a child, I was quite ill. I had something called Still's disease, which is a childhood form of arthritis. And as I was getting my strength back, my doctor would tell me that there were certain things I could do for myself in terms of the physical activity, but I couldn't do them safely when I was under stress. So, for example, I could play softball, but I couldn't be on the softball team because the emotional stress of needing to get this, hit the ball to win the game might be too much for me. So I grew up with the idea that stress, that emotions can have a profound impact on someone's health. This concept is being shown more and more also in terms of the scientific data. We're seeing more and more studies showing that people who have strong social supports live longer, healthier lives, that people who participate in organizations or churches or have happy marriages have longer lives. Even something as simple as when you're in the hospital, are you in the side of the room that has the window or not, can make a big influence in how quickly someone recovers from surgery. So as we see it more and more in the scientific data, and it's something that I just grew up with, it makes sense for me to practice medicine this way.
Why aren't there more studies into the effects of complementary medicine? Is there research in this area?
There is research in this area, but many times it's difficult or expensive to do, so it's not as well researched as some other aspects of medicine. Part of it is a matter of the expense. If a drug company is testing a new product, they know that if they spend the millions of dollars to do the testing and can prove that it works, they'll be able to recoup their investment from what they can charge for the drug. But if someone does research to show that, for example, cinnamon is effective in controlling blood sugar for someone with diabetes, they're not going to be able to make that money back when cinnamon is sitting on the grocery store shelves. The other issue is that sometimes it's difficult to test the different parts of alternative medicine. The standard way that conventional medicine will test a new idea is by making sure that you line up a group of people who have the condition. And some of them will get a pill to affect that condition. Some of them will get a pill that doesn't have whatever the key ingredient is thought to be. But the people involved won't know whether they're getting the active treatment or not. That's difficult to do, say, for something like acupuncture. Most people know whether or not they're getting stuck with needles. And it has taken years, in fact, to develop a good model by which acupuncture can be studied. Between these two problems, it's slower for research to get done in complementary medicine. And when it does get undertaken, it's usually paid for by the federal government. And right now, funds from the federal government are going to a lot of different places, and they're not all being focused on this.
It seems like many types of alternative treatments are more popular in other parts of the world and have been for years. Why is this type of medicine less accepted here in the U.S.?
A lot of what we consider alternative medicine is the standard conventional medicine in different parts of the world. Chinese traditional medicine, obviously from the name, is very well accepted in China. And we just don't have the experience with it that some of these other cultures have with their own standard medical plans, whether that's Western medicine or their own variations of medicine. Here in the U.S., our standard medicine tends to emphasize treatment for crises. You know, if you have an infection and you want to get rid of it, we have a medication for that. If you're having a heart attack, we have very good treatments to help you get through that night and the next couple of months. Medicine in the United States doesn't tend to do so well on long-term things, on chronic illnesses. It's just not part of the way we often think about healthcare. And that's part of the difficulty in getting things established, is that people want a quick fix rather than something that's a long-term change. In my practice, I might have someone come to me saying that she's concerned about a risk of heart attack that's running in her family. We'll do blood tests and find that she has elevated cholesterol. I might offer her one of the conventional prescription medications, and she might say, no, is there something else I can take that's more of an herbal treatment for it? Which there is, but unless she also addresses things like smoking and lifestyle and exercise, you're not going to be getting the full benefit of these different treatments. You're just treating an herbal as if it were a pharmaceutical, as if it were a prescription drug.
Nowadays, people do so much of their own medical research online, where they find so many products and therapies claiming to be all natural healing remedies. What do you tell your patients about these natural remedies? How do people know what's safe?
There's so much information out there on the web. It's very, very easy to drown in a sea of data. One of the things I tell my patients is to make sure that they seek out reputable sources of information. And that can be hard to know what's reputable and what's not. Generally speaking, if you go searching on the web for something for a particular condition and you find a wonderful sounding therapy that you've never heard of on a website that just happens to be the folks who sell that treatment, you might want to be very, very careful before you proceed. You don't want to take advertisements at face value. Another issue is that all natural by itself doesn't mean safe. We have seen many examples in the past couple of years. Listeners might remember a problem with a product called ephedra several years ago, which was an all-natural herbal concentrate that was used to help boost energy and lose weight. And it worked basically as a stimulant. Chemically, ephedra is very similar to amphetamine. And people using it Some of them had the effects that they wanted and expected. Some of them had irregular heartbeats, and some small percentage of them actually died from using this product. Many of the products that are out there, for example, for weight loss these days, are still stimulants, just labeled in a different way. They won't say, for example, contains a whole lot of caffeine. They'll say contains guarana extract and green tea extract. You don't realize that the extract is basically another way to say caffeine. The other problem with using some of the herbals is in the United States, there's not a whole lot of testing being done so that consumers can know for sure that what the ingredient says on the label is actually what's in the bottle. I tell my patients to look for products that were manufactured in Germany. They have much tighter regulation on this than we do, and it can be very helpful to look for the German products. We have had difficulty in the past with Chinese products, the same way that there was, say, lead paint in toys manufactured in China, or problems with pet food manufactured in China. We have seen some problems with herbal products coming from China being contaminated with things like lead and arsenic.
What are some complementary therapies or treatments that you believe really work?
That I believe really work. At the base of it, the idea that living an active life, eating well, doing what nourishes you in your body and your spirit contributes to your health, that's the bedrock of what I think really works. For specific examples, there's a lot of data now that acupuncture can be very, very good for things like arthritis pain, for nausea associated with cancer treatment, and for some other things. Looking for herbals, there's lots of evidence that St. John's wort does work for mild or moderate depression. Unfortunately, it seems that St. John's wort has more side effects than some of the prescription medications we use. So if it's something that interests you, make sure you talk about it with your doctor. The other thing I'm really interested in right now is what they call probiotic therapy. The idea that some of the bacteria that live with us and help us digest our food are very important to our health. Right now we're using these at a very, very low level. The idea that yogurt with active cultures might be helpful for somebody with digestive problems. And I think that in the next few years, we're going to see a whole lot of research in that area and find out a lot of very, very useful information there.
Anything else you think people should know on this topic?
I think one of the most important things people can know is that they should be open to talking about this topic with anyone that they see about their health. Their family doctor should know if they see an acupuncturist. Their acupuncturist needs to know what herbals they're getting from their naturopath. Everyone involved in their health needs to be part of the conversation, because all of these things not only affect their health, but can also interact with each other in ways that can be unpredictable. So everyone taking care of you needs to know what's going on.
Thanks so much, Dr. Hamilton. Dr. Hamilton sees patients at Drexel Family Medicine in Manayunk. For more information or to make an appointment, call 215-482-1234 or visit drexelmed.edu. And join us for the next Drexel Medcast at drexelmed.edu.